This is Harrison Smith, and you're listening to the Wobcast, hosted by Wobby.
All right, here we go. Another edition of the Wobcast coming at you right now. I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, in TCO Studios at Winter Park with producer Nate Vaughn. As the Vikings look to rebound from their first loss of the season, a 21-10 defeat at the hands of the Philadelphia Eagles, and preparations are well underway for their game this week. It's a Monday Night Football game against the Chicago Bears. We got a jam-packed show once again coming up for you. Fan mail later on, player we should be talking about later on, and of course, three threats as we preview the Chicago Bears. But we're going to talk with a weekly recap and some talking points since the Vikings lost to the Philadelphia Eagles. As we said, Vikings looking to rebound coming off a not very fun 21-10 loss in the city of brotherly love to the Eagles. Uncharacteristic play and mistakes for your Vikings in their loss. Four turnovers, they allowed six sacks, they gave up a kickoff return for a touchdown. Marcus Sherrills lost a fumble on a punt return, so all sorts of weird things happened, and that's why the Vikings lost. So in the following days, there was some sky is falling type of reaction to the Vikings loss, which is natural in the National Football League. You start out 5-0, you're going to the Super Bowl. Nate, you drop to 5-1, you're missing the playoffs. We saw a lot of that reaction in the media and with the fan base, didn't we?
It's funny how that works, and it makes you wonder what if they lost their first game of the season and then won five straight, right? How different things would be right now. Yep. So 5-1 is 5-1. There's no reason for Zimmer, the Vikings, to dwell on it because you know, that's still a pretty good record, and you still have to play another game this week.
Yep, it's a road game against a very good team. That's what you had in Philadelphia, and it's hard to win on the road, and it's really hard to win on the road when you're playing a good team. To Nate's point about what if we had started 0-1 and then won five straight, how would the mindset be as opposed to winning five and then losing one? Matt Burke had a great tweet following the game, Nate. It was, to Vikings fans, how you feel when you're 5-1 depends on when you won the five and lost the one. It is what it is. Hashtag Denny Green wisdom. So I take it that is something the late, great Denny Green once said, or said many times with Matt Burke in the locker room. Good perspective from a former player.
Denny Green, Matt Burke, and myself all on the same page.
Yes, and that's a good page on which to be, Nate, I must say.
Thank you.
And another Nate also on that page, Nate Burleson, with the wildly successful Good Morning Football show on NFL Network, a show that I happen to like very much. Nate Burleson is a regular on the show. He gave us his perspective on the Vikings falling to 5-1.
What did we learn about the Vikings? Are you, Nate Burleson, worried about the Vikings' offense?
No, I'm not worried about it.
No?
You heard Coach talking. The mistakes that they have, they're physical mistakes. And it's one thing to get ran out the building from a strategy standpoint, and you can't keep up with the other team. But when you're playing well leading up into this game, and you're throwing the ball away, doing things that are uncharacteristic to your squad, these are all things that can be fixed. So for me, there's not much worry here. Yeah, the defense could have played better. Obviously, the offense could have taken care of the ball. But right now, this is still a team that's at the top of the division. They're at the top of the NFL. So for me, there is no worry for us to sit here and say, oh, the Minnesota Vikings all of a sudden are going to head in the opposite direction. No, sometimes you need to get punched in the mouth. It happens all the time. You got to hit the reset button, and they've been dealing with adversity all year. This is small. Just to take a loss, regroup, hit the drawing board, and then they'll get back to being on track.
To your point, these two teams had a combined three turnovers going into this game. Then they had eight. So do you think it's an anomaly, Peter? Your eyes got real wide there.
That's an amazing stat, Kay. And another fact that I heard was that of the last 13 last unbeaten teams, you know, they were the last unbeaten team at 5-0, none of them have won the Super Bowl. So history is not in their favor. And they play the Bears on Monday Night Football coming up. And I think that can help them get right. Nothing against the Bears. They're just banged up. But then how about this four-game stretch?
We love that. We love that, Peter. We love that team that gives other teams confidence.
Cubs, you know, Indians.
Our Cubs are in the World
Cubs
Series.
Cubs, Indians.
So buckle up. How about this four-game stretch, though? They play the Lions, then they play the Redskins, then they play the Cardinals, and they play the Lions on Thanksgiving. So we'll know what the Vikings are over the next month. But right now, I think there's some concern because usually they were playing solid offense, great defense, great special teams, and not making mistakes. If you make mistakes, you can't win with that offense.
Usually Rich Schroeder, our producer, walks in the 5 a.m. meeting. Skull
Bikes.
Didn't
Where was that
this
morning?
Doomsday.
I've been wondering if this Sam Bradford's going to show up. I mean, it was a rough, rough game for Sam, but I'm not going to go in on him because he's been so great. Everybody gets an egg every once in a while. You know, nobody goes 16-0, 19-0. It was a beautiful, beautiful game for the Philadelphia defense. Sam Bradford looked brutal, but I'm going to give him a pass for 1 week.
All right, so up next for your Minnesota Vikings, a task that used to be daunting, but after a victory there last year playing at Soldier Field, doesn't seem as daunting anymore, but let's not be fooled. It was just one win last year, a good win for the Vikings, but that was the first time they won there since 2007. Well, the Vikings go back to Soldier Field, a Monday night football game against the Bears. The Bears are 1-6, so they're eager to get back on the winning track as well. They've had a few extra days to prepare for this game because it's a Monday night game, but also because they played last Thursday against the Packers, so they'll be well rested. They'll be ready to go. Should be a good game for the Vikings and Bears on Monday night. Another talking point, offensive line woes. That was the big subplot to the fallout of the Vikings' first loss. The Vikings allowed 6 sacks. They did a little shuffling along the offensive line. They put Jake Long into the rotation a bit. They moved TJ Clemmings to the right side for a little bit. And so with the loss, just lots of talk all week about this being the fatal flaw for your Minnesota Vikings. Lots of talk about Joe Thomas or Joe Staley, and will the Vikings trade for one of them, and do they have the cap room, and what would they need to send to acquire one of those players? And so far, nothing has happened. You heard Mike Zimmer talk earlier in the week during his press conference that we're not just going to go down the street and find guys who can come in and play. We have to play better. The guys we have to play better. I think that's an important thing to remember. And also remember, the Vikings already traded away their first rounder in the Sam Bradford deal, plus a conditional pick, and they're tight against the cap. So you don't rule anything out ever, but I'm not one who's expecting a big move before the November 1 trade deadline for the Vikings, but you never rule anything out, especially with wheeling-dealing Rick Spielman. But even if they don't make a move, I think that's okay. Maybe sticking with the 5 guys we have, letting them play together, letting them improve, letting them gain synergy, and letting them peak as the season goes on is the best course of action anyway. Not all is gloom and doom, though, for the Vikings in the aftermath of their game in Philadelphia. The defense remained dominant. A mistake-filled outing on offense and special teams marred a spectacular defensive effort for your Vikings that turned the Eagles over 4 times. Those 4 turnovers included 2 interceptions of Carson Wentz and a lost fumble by Carson Wentz. There were three straight possessions at the end of the first quarter that resulted in a turnover for the Eagles. So the Vikings did a great job of taking the ball away. Unfortunately, on those 3 possessions that ended in a turnover for the Eagles, the Vikings scored 0 points on those possessions. They had 2 turnovers themselves and they had to punt. And so the Vikings couldn't capitalize. They did make Wentz look like a rookie quarterback, though. 16 of 28, 138 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 picks, a passer rating of 52.4. And by the way, another number one receiver goes by the wayside while playing Mike Zimmer's defense. Jordan Matthews, very talented athletic receiver for the Eagles, their number one target, 3 catches, 10 yards. Not fun to be a number one wide receiver and play the Vikings. Alshon Jeffrey up next for Zimmer and company.
The question of the week,
yes,
has to deal with Alshon Jeffrey.
Indeed.
And the Vikings, but well, you could have guessed that. The question is, what will give between the Vikings defense and Alshon Jeffrey?
Okay. Well, this question comes down to, you have a defense that is killing number one wide receivers this year, and you have a number one wide receiver who has historically been quite successful against this team. Nate, you know this from shooting the games and being literally ground level of Vikings-Bears games over the last couple of years. Alshon Jeffrey is good, and he's good against the Vikings. In his career against the Vikings, now not all of these games were against Mike Zimmer, but in his career against the Vikings, Alshon Jeffrey, 40 catches, 612 yards, 6 touchdowns in 7 games.
Whew.
Pretty good. And I think he had 2 touchdowns against the Vikings last year, and he had a 10-catch game against the Vikings last year. 10-catch, 116 yards, 1 touchdown performance against Mike Zimmer's defense. He also had a 1-catch performance last year, although that catch did go for a touchdown. He has 3 touchdowns in 4 games against Zimmer and the Vikings. But As we've already said, the Vikings are destroying number one wide receivers this year. Jordy Nelson, 5 catches. Calvin Benjamin, shut out. Odell Beckham Jr., career low, 23 receiving yards. DeAndre Hopkins didn't get anything until the game was way out of hand. He had 5 catches and a touchdown, but again, that was late in the fourth quarter. Jordan Matthews, 3 catches, 10 yards. So something's got to give this week with Alshon Jeffrey and the Vikings defense. Helping Alshon this week is the return of Jay Cutler, which is something that we've been watching here closely at the Vikings Entertainment Network. It was going to be Matt Barkley, it looked like, but now Jay Cutler's been returned to practice, and we presume he will be able to return and play. So that'll be an interesting twist to this game because he hasn't played since week 2 with a thumb injury. All right, what's next?
Well, we're going to talk about a player we shouldn't be talking about.
Okay.
One of those guys that's going to be chasing Jay Cutler or Matt Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Robinson.
Yes.
Why should we be talking more about Brian Robinson?
Well, I'm going to use an analogy at the end of this analysis, quite frankly, we should be talking about him because he is one of the best players on our defense right now. He is tied for the lead in sacks with 4. He leads the Vikings in tackles for loss with 7. He already has 2 forced fumbles, and he's turned into a guy that you can use as a stand-up defensive lineman, a stand-up 3 technique in the Vikings sub-packages. Last week against the Eagles, we had Coach Zimmer break down a play for Vikings game plan, which will be on Vikings.com soon, where Brian Robinson was out in space, like not outer space, but just like,
right. Yeah,
just out in space on the football field.
Gravity was in play.
Right. And he split a double team and was able to take Jordan Matthews down on a wide receiver screen for a loss of 5. Super athletic play for anybody, but especially for a defensive lineman. And Robinson is the latest example for me of a player who has evolved during his career to stay alive and to stay relevant. And I think the best example of that in Vikings history that I have seen, again, in my 12 seasons, was Kevin Williams. Kevin Williams, when he was drafted in the early 2000s, was an explosive, penetrating, disruptive defensive tackle. And he evolved into a run-stuffing defensive tackle with Pat Williams in the late 2008-2009 era. He was a run-stuffing defensive tackle. And then, toward the very end of his career, when he was losing the ability to get to the quarterback as quickly as he once did, he became very good at knocking passes down with his hands when he couldn't get a sack. So Kevin Williams did a great job of evolving his skill set and what he could bring to the table to stay relevant, and I think Brian Robinson is doing that right before our very eyes right now. So even in a loss, there were some standout players for the Vikings. Xavier Rhodes was one of them. Cordarrelle Patterson was one of them. I thought Brian Robinson was also one of them. He had a really good game against the Eagles.
And how about the past few games Cordarrelle Patterson is putting together?
Fun. He's had a touchdown catch in consecutive games.
That's he hasn't cool. done that in quite a while.
Right. 2014 was the last time he did that. So he's been a lot of fun to watch. Gunner, kickoff returner, wide receiver, run blocker, finding a lot of ways to help the team, and that's fun to see.
All right, we're going to move on to some fan mail.
Yes.
First question from Ray in Oregon.
Okay.
Hello, Ray. With the offensive line being an area for concern and the running game being one of the worst in the league, do you think it's time for less play action passes to give Sam a little more time to look down the field?
Possibly, but also possibly not, Ray. Think about this. The Vikings, the offensive line is certainly an area of the team that a lot of people have been talking about and an area that we want to see improve. But the Vikings in their first 3 games, Nate, this was the rushing total. 65, 30, 58. Okay. In the 3 games since then, 104, 96, 93. So the rushing yardage has gone up from the first 3 games over the course of the last 3. Still you want that to get better, but I think it's going in the right direction. And Coach Zimmer made an interesting comment earlier in the week. He said, we started out the season really protecting the passer well, not run blocking very well. Lately, we've started to see some improvements in the run blocking, but now we've taken a step back in the pass blocking. And so I thought that was an interesting observation by Coach Zimmer. And some good insight. And so I expect this thing to balance out a little bit. And if anything, you might see the play action pass start to work a little more. In fact, in our pregame show in Philadelphia, Ben Lieber was kind of pining for some more play action passing on first down. to help the Vikings offense be able to move the ball down the field. So I don't think you'll see play action passing going away, Ray. In fact, I think it's going to get more effective, especially as that offensive line starts to gel.
Second question from Jeff. It's on the topic of Andrew Sendejo.
Yes.
A pleasant surprise for us this year, which we talked about. Was it last week or the week before or something? He was one of the players we should be talking about.
Yes, he was.
Jeff says, I want to express how impressed I am at Andrew's progress under Mike Zimmer. I used to cringe. Yeah, they're buds. I used to cringe a little when I saw this guy take the field because his effort was there, but he was always seeming to be something of a placeholder until enter Coach Zimmer. He's turned Sendejo into a terrific compliment to Harry the Hitman Smith. He's on first name basis, nickname basis. Andrew's ability to tackle has skyrocketed. His hands seem to find interceptions increasingly well, and his energy has definitely changed for the better. Good job, Coach. Good job, Andrew.
I like this email.
Yeah. More of those.
Yeah, I agree with Andrew. Two interceptions and two fumble recoveries for Andrew Sendejo. He's fourth on this defense in tackles, and he's fourth in special teams tackles. Very productive start for Andrew Sendejo. Hopefully he can play in the game this weekend. He got hurt last week in Philadelphia. Either way, Coach Zimmer didn't seem to think it was a long-term injury, so even if he does not play in Chicago, I think we're going to have him for the long haul, so that's good. By the way, Vikings give Andrew Sendejo that big contract in the offseason. A lot of people freak out, and all Andrew has done since then is enter the offseason program, the starter, fend off competition by way of free agency and Michael Griffin, by way of returning players like Anthony Harris and Anton Exum, and by way of draft picks and Jayron Kearse, earn the starting job, keep the starting job, and produce at a good level next to Harrison Smith. So bravo to Andrew Sendejo. Well said by Jeff, or shall we call him Jay, since we're on first name and nickname basis.
There you go.
Way to go, Jay.
Appreciate it, Jay.
We appreciate the email, Jeff. Agree with you on Sendejo. Hopefully he can get back on the field soon.
Don from Lanesboro says he watched the Monday presser with Coach Zimmer after the Philadelphia game. He says, I have to give him credit for his honesty. He reminded me of a parent who was totally disappointed when someone in his family who was capable of so much had an absolutely horrible day. No BS, just truth and accountability for all, including the coaches. We have a great team, but offensively still things to fix. So we have a week. Skol Vikes.
Yeah, good perspective here by Don. You know, I might have taken a slight shot on fans earlier at the top of the show when the sky is falling mentality, but by and large, fans have this type of perspective. You know, they're proud of the team, they're confident in the team, and they can't wait to see them play again after a loss. And I think that's what Don is getting to. And I agree with him on Coach Zimmer. I think Coach Zimmer does have a fatherly persona with his players, where his players want to do well to prove Zimmer right or to make Zimmer proud. I think he has that effect on players, and that's good when a coach has that effect. Coach is not here to be their friends. You know, a coach is not here to be popular. Coach is here to coach, and I think that's what Mike Zimmer does, and I think players, at the end of the day, love to be coached. And that's what they're getting here with Mike Zimmer and his coaching staff. Hopefully they can get back on the right track here against the Bears.
Three threats.
Yes.
Threat number one, Leonard Floyd, their first-round draft pick rookie. This year, making some noise already.
A rookie makes three threats. Now, that tells you one of two things. Either they're not a very good team, and that's why rookie is playing, which is not the case, or, dang, this rookie might be really good. That is the case. Leonard Floyd might be really good. The Packers think he is. He had two sacks against the Packers last week, and he forced a fumble. So Aaron Rodgers has had enough Leonard Floyd for a long time. He's going to have to take him one more time this season. Pass rushing outside linebacker, first-round pick this past year, number 9 overall. Had two sacks and a fumble against the Packers, as I said. You'll see him on the field most of the snaps on Monday night. Got a block, Leonard Floyd.
Jay Cutler.
Yep.
He's returning, apparently.
He does. It looks like he's going to return from injury. We all know the story here. He's a gunslinger, and he's dangerous when he's hot. He'll throw the ball up to his receivers. He trusts his receivers. He will hold the ball, which is good for your pass rush, but it's bad for your secondary if your pass rush doesn't get home because he will wait for his receivers to get open and fire. Xavier Rhodes had a pick last week. His first career interception came off of Jay Cutler a couple years ago. Would love to see number 29 have another interception on Monday night.
Jumping back over to the defensive side for the Bears, Willie Young, the defensive end.
I always thought Willie was a good off-the-bench player for the Detroit Lions. Then in free agency, he went to the Bears, got a starting spot. He has six sacks this year, including three in one game against the Colts. And then the next week, when you would think that team would have Willie Young double-teamed, he had two more. So five sacks in 2 weeks for Willie Young this season, six on the season. nice tandem with him on one side and Leonard Floyd on the other. The Vikings offensive line will be tested with these two pass rushers.
All right, let's wrap it up with some over-unders.
Okay.
The first over-under, you just talked about Jay Cutler, how he holds the ball a little bit longer,
mm-hmm.
and how that could be a good thing for our pass rush, could be bad for our defensive backs.
Yes.
Pass rush, though. How many sacks will the Minnesota Vikings have on the Bears? We'll put the over-under at 2.5.
I'm going to go over.
Over.
Yep. I mean, because the Vikings could lose this game and still have 2.5 sacks with how Jay Cutler operates. That's not a slam on Cutler. I'm just saying, as a receiver, I would love this. He's going to hold the ball for you. He's going to wait for you to get open. We saw Eli Manning and even Brock Osweiler to some extent, but especially Eli Manning in that home game against the Giants, he would just get rid of the ball. I mean, after like 2 seconds, no one was open. He would just throw it in the ground. Cutler's not doing that. He's going to hold on to it. He's going to wait for you to get open, and he's going to throw it to you. That could result in more passing yards for him, but could also result in more sacks for us, and I think it will. I'm over on this.
Catches for Alshon Jeffrey. He talked about last year in the two games against them. He had one catch and then 10 catches. Let's split that and put the over-under at 5.5. Will he have more or less than 5.5 catches in this game?
Under. No way I'm betting against Zimmer on this one. I've seen it for 6 weeks now. Number one receivers are just not having their way with Mike Zimmer. Not even having their way. They're almost not getting anything. I mean, Kelvin Benjamin was shut out. And for all intents and purposes, Odell Beckham Jr. was shut out. 3 catches, 23 yards. Jordan Matthews was shut out. I mean, he had 3 catches for 10. One of those catches was for -5 yards because of Brian Robinson. If the Bears may find a way to pass on the Vikings and score points, but it's not. I just don't think it's going to be through Alshon Jeffrey. Under.
Finally, field goals for Blair Walsh. We picked this one because if you remember, which you probably do because mm-hmm. it was a good game.
Right.
We went to Chicago last year. Mm-hmm. Blair Walsh made a game-winning field goal.
Yes.
So if we put the over-under at Blair Walsh made field goals at 1.5, what would you say?
Gal, that's a good one. You know, that's a good one because, you know, I want us to score touchdowns. You know? So I want it to be under because we scored 5 touchdowns and didn't have to kick field goals. On the other hand, I think Blair, he's on a little bit of a roll right now. He was perfect in Philadelphia, and I believe he was perfect against Houston as well. I think the Bears will play with enough pride on defense, and they've got enough players like Jarrell Freeman and Danny Trevathan and Young and Floyd, where I think maybe once or twice they'll stall us and we'll have to kick a field goal. And I think Blair's going to hit him, even though it's a night game, even though it might be cold. And even though it's Soldier Field, I think Blair will hit them. So I'll go over on this. I think the Vikings are going to be able to score. Part of it will be field goals. Hopefully it's more touchdowns, but I'll go over on this. I think Blair will do it for us.
He did it last year.
Yes. Let's do it again. I'll take a walk-off winner. I'm not apologizing for winning by 1, 2, or 3 points against this team.
It was a fun game.
Yeah, that was a fun game. Stephon Diggs also had a big game at Soldier Field last year. Would like to see that again. See Sam Bradford find Stephon Diggs. So, we'll talk about it next week when we're back with another edition of the Wobcast. That's it for this one. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. Vikings and Bears, Monday Night Football. Make sure you catch the game on the Vikings Radio Network. Paul Allen, Pete Bursich, Greg Coleman, Ben Lieber will bring you the action, and then catch all of our coverage before, during, and after that game on Vikings.com. Again, Wobcast coming back next week to recap the Vikings and Bears and look ahead to another NFC North showdown. The Vikings will host the Detroit Lions a week from Sunday. Lots of fun, lots to talk about, and we'll do it all next week. Until then, see you later.